Ambulatory care sites are under new pressure to ensure that, as patients move from setting to setting, everyone knows about what's going on with their medications. The Joint Commission on Accreditation of Healthcare Organizations has released its 2009 Patient Safety Goals for Ambulatory Care, and medication reconciliation is a strong focus. Although a sizable portion of office practices and ambulatory sites are not accredited by the Joint Commission, the standards are highly influential. Dr. Peter Angood is Joint Commission Vice President and Chief Patient Safety Officer.
Everyone recognizes that the patients have a lot of medications many times, and yet it's confusing as to who's ordering those medications, why are they being ordered, and are the patients even being able to follow and track which medications are on. Compliance for patients taking medications is well recognized to be only about 50%. Even if they fill their prescriptions. A lot of patients don't even fill their prescriptions.
Mistakes with medication reconciliation can happen when patients enter a new setting or when they leave. The error might not lead to a health problem, or it may send a patient to the hospital or worse. Liability can attach to facilities and the providers responsible for the patient's care. Dr. Jeffrey Schnipper is the Director of Clinical Research for the Hospitalist Service at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. Dr. Schnipper has studied medication error extensively. He acknowledges med errors have not been studied widely in ambulatory care compared to the inpatient setting. But his research has found that an average inpatient has 1.5 potentially harmful medication discrepancies between what they were taking when they entered the hospital and what they had in the hospital or upon discharge, which had nothing to do with medical decision-making. Dr. Schnipper says 3/4 of those potential adverse events associated with medication discrepancies are seen after discharge. In one of his studies, about half of patients reported taking a different list of medications than what their doctors were noting in the record.
These are pretty serious errors that two physicians have vetted and say, that's just not right. So the patient has congestive heart failure and doesn't even know they're supposed to be on their Lasix, so isn't taking it at all, or they're taking Lasix and furosemide because they don't realize they're the same medication, and so are taking double the dose that they should be and could easily end up dehydrated. It's a patient who's had a heart attack who is not taking a beta blocker at all because they don't know they're supposed to be on it and could easily have another heart attack.
Omission is the most common medication discrepancy in Dr. Schnipper's research. He estimates that 75 to 80% of these discrepancies cause symptoms, and about 20% are serious enough to cause rehospitalization or persistent change in the patient's functioning. Dr. Schnipper says the errors most often occur at admission because the staff doesn't know what the patient was supposed to be taking in the outpatient setting, and neither does the patient. According to Dr. Schnipper, medication list maintenance and documentation is woefully inadequate.
Far and away, the biggest problem is knowing what they were taking before they came into the hospital. So therefore, we write down the wrong orders at admission, and we write down the wrong orders at discharge. And then on top of that, about 1/4 of the time, even if we knew what they were taking before they came into the hospital, we then write the wrong orders at discharge. So the patient used to be on an aspirin, we hold it on purpose in the hospital, it can now be restarted, but we forget to restart it.
As patients move from site to site and doctor to doctor, the potential for error grows. The Joint Commission goals related to reconciling medication lists in the ambulatory setting tend to be fairly broad. They call on outpatient sites to accurately and completely reconcile medications across the continuum of care. The new goal for 2009 gets more specific about what that means. First, each time a patient moves from one organization or service to another, a complete list of medications is communicated to the next provider. If the patient goes home, the list goes to the primary care or referring physician and to the patients themselves. Some of what the Joint Commission did with the new standards was reduce the burden and recognize real-world care. For example, if a new medication is given for a short duration, such as an antibiotic in the ED, then a full reconciliation isn't necessary. The list just needs to be checked for allergies or other potential adverse event. Another simplification in the new standard involves who gets the reconciled list when a patient moves on. The Joint Commission says the list can go to just one provider when the patient transfers, not all the known providers. And if the next provider is not known, the patient or family can get the reconciled list. Dr. Angood says patient involvement is critical.
It's the patients who are taking the medications, and most of the time patients are aware of what they're taking. They have some idea why they're taking it, but if there's changes going on, then it's critically important the patient is aware of those changes, why they are occurring, and having those changes explained to them. So we've got patient involvement all the way through that medication reconciliation process.
Nancy Manchester is Director of Patient Safety and Risk Management for Atrius Health, a multi-site organization of primary care practices in the Boston area. Manchester says medication reconciliation is critical in the outpatient setting, but she explains the challenge of trying to meet important but difficult goals.
I think closed-loop communication is a huge challenge, especially in the ambulatory setting where there are so many moving parts, referrals to specialists, transitions from hospital to outpatient providers. All of those transitions are opportunities to either drop the ball or reconcile medications completely and effectively.
Manchester adds that an obvious problem in primary care is the very short appointment time that providers have with patients. She recommends assigning a knowledgeable person in a practice the role of reconciling medications for individual patients. Education, self-assessment, and data are vital to bringing everyone on board with what can be a tedious task. Atrius is taking advantage of a fairly advanced electronic record system and software that's being piloted to track events and near misses. According to Manchester, the objective of getting medication reconciliation onto the radar screen of busy clinicians can be advanced with the help of compelling localized data and a heightened understanding of what can go wrong.
We really need to stop and take a look at our workflows, make sure that we've got policies in place and procedures for every step. There are some great tools on the IHI.org website that they will show you the failure modes and effects analysis in different care settings for the medication reconciliation issue. And some of those lessons learned are applicable and helpful. There's no need to recreate the wheel in some of these situations.
Dr. Schnipper says electronic medical records can help, but technology is not necessary, and system redesign is more critical.
Everyone's looking for someone else to be in charge of this. You know, as a physician, I think I would say we as physicians are, at the end of the day, responsible for the accuracy of the process as a whole. That doesn't mean we need to do all the work, but we need to assign responsibility for who is going to do the work in each setting and make sure that it's being done and make sure there's a second person to guarantee the sort of the fidelity of the work and make sure that it is being done. This is a little bit easier to explain on the inpatient side. On the outpatient side, I think each practice is going to have to decide, is this a nurse who's going to verify the history or a medical assistant? And honestly, those details have not been worked out yet.
More information and guidance on medication reconciliation is available at the Joint Commission website, which is jointcommission.org/patient-safety. Also, the Massachusetts Coalition for the Prevention of Medical Errors provides recommendations and guidance at macoalition.org, and click on Publications.